In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, the Church gives us the Gospel account of St. Matthew, in which we hear about how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. A central figure included in this account is one that is often distant in the background of the life of Christ, a man who really makes only a brief appearance in the sacred scriptures. That man, of course, is St. Joseph. During the Advent and Christmas seasons, we certainly celebrate and meditate upon the mystery of the incarnate Word, Jesus Christ, and his birth into the world through his Immaculate Mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, his coming into the human race in the context of a family. And as we celebrate this great mystery, it seems that one figure in this mystery, whose role in salvation history might sometimes be forgotten, is that of Saint Joseph. During this time of preparation for the Christmas season, it's certainly important for us to once again look at the man of St. Joseph and what he can teach us about being a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. A little over a year ago, we had the privilege of celebrating the year of St. Joseph, and hopefully many of us grew in our knowledge and of our love of the glorious St. Joseph and the important role that he does have for us in our lives. But the first quality that is spoken about St. Joseph in the Gospel today is the fact that he was a righteous man. Joseph was truly just. He was upright. And this is evidenced by what St. Joseph does when he finds out that Mary, his betrothed, is with child. St. Matthew tells us, unwilling to expose her to shame, he decided to divorce her quietly, that is, send her away. Now, this is in no way in the same mindset or the same meaning that we use with divorce today. But there are several different traditions in the Church exactly what this meant and why St. Joseph did this. One of them, which is upheld by Father Donald Calloway in his book, The Consecration to St. Joseph, is a view shared by St. Bernard of Clairvaux and Thomas Aquinas. And it is this, that St. Joseph, early on, was made aware of the miraculous conception of Christ through the Holy Spirit. And faced with this reality, St. Joseph considered himself unworthy to be involved in such a way in the Lord's work. He understood what was going on and approached it with great awe and reverence. But the angel's message only confirmed what he knew, but counseled him to set his pious fears aside and to fulfill his mission as the legal earthly father of the Christ child. St. Joseph's deep humility and his reverence for God's miraculous works is what made him truly a righteous man. St. Joseph is a man of integrity, is a man of courage, a man of faith. There is no timidity or cowardice in him. And as Father Donald Calloway points out in his book, The Consecration to St. Joseph, if God was going to place an image of himself, an image of God the Father on earth, he would make him the most courageous and the best man on that this world has ever known. And that is indeed what God did with St. Joseph. Joseph is ever docile to the will of God, and he is obedient to the commands of God out of love for him. We see in the Gospel today that the angel appears to St. Joseph in a dream in order to calm his fears and to command him to take Mary and the child Jesus into his own home at Nazareth. And what is St. Joseph's response to what the angel requests? Well, St. Matthew gets straight to the point and tells us he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. After the birth of Christ, whenever King Herod was seeking to kill the Christ child out of jealousy, an angel appears to him again in a dream. And he commands Joseph to take Mary and the child to Egypt in the middle of the night. And what again was Joseph's response? He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, trusting in God and trusting that he would be provided for. And we can only imagine what might have been going through Joseph's mind as the angel commanded him to do this. Because as he went on the road to Egypt, he knew it must have been filled with robbers and vandals. It was a dangerous path to go. And then whenever he got to Egypt, Joseph had to find work and make provisions for his family and wait for the Lord to tell him to return back to his homeland. But then several years later, in a dream, an angel tells Joseph to go back, to leave Egypt and to go back to Nazareth. Joseph exuded a complete and a total trust in the will of Almighty God. He was truly a man of great integrity and of great courage. St. Joseph was the protector, the guardian, the head of the Holy Family. God ordained him with the duty of defending and upholding the dignity of Our Lady and of protecting the Christ child, especially when Herod sought to kill him, and raising the Christ child in his own home at Nazareth, working as a carpenter in order to earn a living to provide for his family. Pope Leo XIII, in a beautiful letter on St. Joseph, says these words: "St. Joseph set himself to protect with a mighty love and a daily solicitude his spouse, Mary, and the divine infant. Regularly by his work, he earned what was necessary for the one and the other for nourishment and clothing. He guarded from death the Christ child threatened by a monarch's jealousy and found for him a refuge. In the miseries of the journey and in the bitterness of exile, he was ever the companion, the assistant, and the upholder of the Virgin and the child Jesus." End quote. Since St. Joseph was the protector, the guardian, and the head of the Holy Family, Holy Mother Church, through Blessed Pope Pius IX, saw it right and just in the 19th century to bestow upon St. Joseph the title of Protector of the Universal Church, the Church of God's Family throughout the world. I'm sure this is certainly an act of God's divine providence, as God knew that His Church was going to need extra protection, especially as she entered into the 20th century and beyond. But as we look at the testimony of so many of the saints of the Church and their devotion to St. Joseph, we truly see how powerful his intercession is. One of the great advocates of devotion to St. Joseph was the great St. Teresa of Avila, who was a 16th century mystic and doctor of the Church who helped to reform the Carmelite order. And she once said, "I know by experience that the glorious St. Joseph assists us generally in all necessities. I never asked him for anything which he did not obtain for me. I never asked him for anything which he did not obtain for me," says St. Teresa of Avila. And if you read through her life, you will indeed find this to be very true. St. Joseph provided for St. Teresa of Avila in so many ways. And what a glorious example she is of beautiful devotion to St. Joseph. St. Joseph, of course, is also a tremendous example for us Christian men, particularly fathers, husbands, and priests. St. Joseph teaches us that we must be protectors and guardians of our families, especially guardians of their souls, of our brides and our children, and to fight and to uphold their dignity, and to defend our households from anything that might enter in, that might cause one to sin or lead one away from God. St. Joseph was the defender of Mary's purity, her immaculateness, and we too as men are meant to practice that purity and defend it as well. St. Joseph teaches us to be men of humility, not seeking to gain the attention or the glories or the pleasures of this life, but storing up treasures in heaven and willing to stand up for the truth, even if that means being faced with mockery or ridicule. St. Joseph also teaches us, men, of the importance that we are, as the head of our households, we are the spiritual heads of our households. We are called to be the spiritual leaders of our homes and in our families. And it's important that we do turn to St. Joseph and ask him to help us and to follow his good example, especially in a day and age in which we live in a world that is filled with such evils, to be those spiritual heads and to ask God for his grace and to deepen our devotion to our Lord. But Joseph also teaches us, and not just us men, but everybody, the importance of obedience and docility to the will of Almighty God. Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he did so promptly, trusting in the will of God. In our day and age, we find so much spread throughout our society and throughout our culture, and I dare say even in ways in the Church, we see a grave disobedience to God and his commandments, and even to the teachings of the Church in many ways. We see this grave and defiant disobedience to God and to his commandments. As we look out into our world, we see that our world is in shambles, primarily because of this, because we are not obedient to our loving God who wants to lead us and guide us safely into eternity. But St. Joseph teaches us the importance of obedience to Almighty God, because God was indeed trustworthy and faithful to St. Joseph in all of his needs. But finally, one of the most magnificent characteristics of St. Joseph is that of his silence. There is, of course, no recorded words of St. Joseph in Scripture. But St. Joseph did not need words in order to fulfill God's will. He simply carried it out. He simply did it. Cooperated with the will of God. He did not need to teach us by his words, because he taught us by his actions. He teaches us the value and the beauty of silence. And in a world like ours today, we need silence. Not just the absence of noise, but true interior silence and peace, where we can find God and hear Him speaking to us, especially as we practice a good habit of daily prayer and taking that time for quiet prayer every day. Pope Benedict XVI once said, "Let us allow ourselves to be infected by the silence of St. Joseph. We have much need of it in a world that is often too noisy, which does not encourage reflection and listening to the voice of God." Brothers and sisters, as we enter into this final week of the Advent season, and as we contemplate the righteous man of St. Joseph today, let us call upon him as our protector and as our defender and as a good example to each and every one of us. I would encourage you during this final week of Advent to find a prayer to St. Joseph, perhaps the Litany of St. Joseph or the St. Joseph Terror of Demons prayer or another prayer, and to pray that prayer with your family, with your spouse, or even on your own. And as we enter into this new year in just a couple of weeks, I would encourage you to commit yourself to First Wednesday devotions, which are a day that is set aside particularly for devotion to St. Joseph. Perhaps to come to Mass that day if you're able to, or to pray the Litany of St. Joseph or other prayers to him, to dedicate that day to him and to ask for his continued intercession. And I would encourage you to pick up a copy of The Consecration to St. Joseph by Father Donald Calloway, and to perhaps consecrate yourself to St. Joseph during this new coming year. And fathers, husbands, and Christian men, my brothers, encourage you to pray to St. Joseph each and every day, and to ask him to help you to fulfill your vocation just as St. Joseph did, and did so well and promptly. And in these final days of Advent, my brothers and sisters, let us remain close to the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Joseph. Let us ask Our Lady, too, for her guidance and for her intercession, especially for the prayer of the powerful Rosary, and to continue to turn to her and to rely upon her powerful intercession. Let us take time for prayer this week, go to adoration and confession if we have the opportunity, and to truly prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ and the glorious celebration of Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.